Good morning, church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us today to be here. We thank you that you drove us safely, all of us safe and sound at this place. You protected us all week long, starting from last Sunday up till now. And we are very appreciative of the fact that today we can gather this morning around your word so that we can learn and understand what you have in store for us. I pray for everyone who is out or is not present in the sanctuary. I pray for the pastor and his wife and children who have been away celebrating Amber's birthday. I pray that your mighty hand will restore them, refuel them, and bring them safe and sound here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to learn about the Lord's Supper. But allow me first to introduce this word by reading the word from John Maxwell. He said, "Helping people enlarge themselves and develop their potential make it possible for them to go to a whole new level of living. But no matter how much they grow and learn, they will still face obstacles. They will make mistakes. They will run into problems in their personal and professional lives, and they will encounter circumstances that won't be able to get through well without some help." I believe all of us, as believers, we need help. The help from our God, who knows how limited we are. The help for Him to come and save us from this broken world. Last week, I was at the front in the lobby, and I got this booklet, the 3 Circles Life Conversational Guide. And I find some words here that really describe pretty well our lives today. It says, "We live in the broken world, surrounded by broken lives, broken relationships, and broken systems. This brokenness is seen in suffering, violence, poverty, pain, and death around us. Brokenness leads us to search for a way to make life work." It reminded me of the 4 spiritual laws. I don't know if you heard of that, but there are 3 circles in this booklet. God's design, and then there is an arrow going towards another circle, and this arrow says sin, and that creates brokenness. And from there, repentance, belief, and that goes to gospel. And from the gospel, we go back to God, recovering through repentance in God's life. So I started thinking, what can happen if we, all of us, we just do the word of God as he wants us to do it. We listen and follow him and obey accordingly. What would that what can happen after that? A couple months ago, I was reading a book, and it talks about The Ancient Path by Greg Hill. I don't know, most of you knows about him, but he wrote about this book, and it was inviting Christians to go back to the old way of God, the good ways. He said, and I'm going to quote him here. He started by reading, bringing from Jeremiah 6:16. He said, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest in your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." And after he meditated, he said he found out that This ancient path meant old, concealed, hidden, perpetual, eternal, timeless. So there was a blueprint that God had put in his Bible for us to follow so that we can have the same power that he has. Today, we, most of our Christians, we don't have the power that God has said that we should have. He said he goes in to the Father, he will send us the Holy Spirit who will be with us and who will teach us the things that we need to know and that will do greater things that he did. Are we doing the greater things that he did? Most of us, we will understand that that's not the case. So he remembers something. He said in his word, he continued saying, and I remember reading in the Bible how everything on the earth is patterned after things in heaven. God's ways are heavenly, eternal, timeless. Before God created man and all the earth, his ways were established, and he walked in them. When God created Adam and Eve, he made them in his own image and established within them his ways, supernatural, timeless, and from eternity. So, and he gave a very good illustration that I will never remember, I will never forget. He said, few people know that electrical power can be induced in a conductor wire that is simply stretched parallel to an active electric line without the conductor wires touching the line or being physically connected to it in any way. By simply being stretched parallel to a set of electric lines, a copper wire may conduct electric power right through the air with no physical connection whatsoever. So that means, we understand what you mean in a physical world, but in the spiritual world, it says that God's power can jump to us if we simply align our lives with his life. His life can jump from his life to us, the supernatural power, the eternity life can jump to us only if we align our lives on the side of God. But that's what we've been struggling with in our lives. If you look at the society today, you will see that we are trying to depart from God. In fact, we are departing from God. We have cast out the Bible out of our children's schools. We are changing the constitution to reflect what we think should be correct. That's not the path that God puts our country in. And so Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper for three main reasons. To remember him for what he had done for us. What did he do for us? He said in his word, do this in remembrance of me. By doing that, we are proclaiming God's deliverance. When we get together and we break the bread, we are proclaiming that he had delivered us from what? From the sin. This is a broken world, a broken system. We need a supernatural power to be able to snatch us out of this world so that we don't navigate according to this world. So, by breaking the bread, we proclaim that deliverance from sin through the death of Christ, our Passover, who is a sacrifice for us. A second thing, we know that time when we share the we break the bread and take it together, we are refreshing and communing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because participating in the death of and the resurrection of our Jesus Christ, we are nourishing, empowering our lives. And we share one bread. We take one bread that we're going to share, all of us, because the Bible says, though many, we are partakers of one bread. In ancient Israel, bread was representing everything for them. Bread was the most important thing in their lives. They were taking bread. In fact, if you have a guest, if you did not share bread with them, they will consider as if you have disrespected them. So bread was life. The Bible says Jesus is the bread of life. We've got to be able to be eating him when we are sharing that bread. And eating him is putting his word in us, meditating on it, and applying it to our lives. The third point is time of recommitment and anticipation. So we have to look ahead when he will come back. We are to examine ourselves and partake in a worthy manner. Otherwise, we will be guilty of body and blood of the Lord. This is a great opportunity that God gave us. When we are sharing the bread, we are recommitting to our God. If there was something in us that was not right with God, that was the time to break that cycle and recommit to God. And we will see when we start reading, we will see that Judas, one of the disciples of Jesus, who was with him, he had seen all Jesus' miracles. He has witnessed how powerful Jesus was, but yet he did not want to repent. Luke 22:3 says, Satan entered his heart. And John 12:3 says that he was a thief. He used to thief. This was a great opportunity for him when they are breaking bread to say, no, I'm not going to go down this road. Let me repent and go the right way. I don't know how many of us in the church today, we have something that is holding us to serve or to be able to express ourselves entirely with God. I don't know if there is a sin that is holding us up, but when we come and share the bread, that's the time for us and the opportunity for us to go back to God and to be able to recommit to him. So, in this passage, Matthew 26, let's go there. Matthew 26, I'm going to read. The Bible says, verse 17-29, now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciple came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare you for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. 20. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the ditch will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is being betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciple and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave the thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for me, for many, for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. This passage reflects something that was going on in the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament had been already performing miracles. He had been already ministering to people. But there was something. Satan was on the scene. And Satan was doing something. He wanted to kill Jesus. Since birth, the Bible says that he was trying to kill Jesus through the decree of Herod. He wanted to exterminate. He actually killed all the two-year-born boys. But Jesus escaped. So look at this as a spiritual battle going on. A spiritual battle between God and Satan in the background. Satan attacked Jesus in different ways. Through trying to kill him, trying to use the Pharisees to exterminate him because they didn't like the type of teaching he was doing. But then Satan got into the life of Judas, one of his closest disciples. And he went after him because he wanted to exterminate his life. But on the other hand, let's go to the Old Testament. What was going on? Because the Lord's Supper is what actually was happening in the Old Testament as Passover. As we read it, the Passover was when God had to pass over the houses of Israelites when he saw the blood at the post door of the or the doorpost of their houses. So the battle was also there. That was the first round, I can say, or the first time the battle took place. And in this battle, there were 10 rounds. The first round was, we have it in the Bible, water became blood. Satan wanted the children of Israel to stay there as slaves. He didn't want them to leave to go and worship God. The second battle, frogs. The third, the lice, flies, livestock, boils, hails, locusts, darkness, firstborn death. When we reach the death, the 10th plague, God said, hold on, we're going to do something different. Up till now, nothing happened. That's when he instituted Passover. He said, I've been battling by myself. Now I want you to put the skin on the game. He wanted them to be part of the salvation process. Because up till now, 9 rounds, nothing happened. The 10th round, the Bible said that God said, even this 10th round, nothing was supposed to happen. So he decided to stop and say, let's put everything, we're going to do things differently. He said, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to go in the center of Egypt. I'm going to fight the devil himself. And you're going to do something different also. And he instituted Passover, which consisted of taking a lamb, a spotless lamb, a young male, the bones should never be broken. It should be examined for 4 days. He was supposed to be slain in public. He said, that's the lamb you're going to take, and then you're going to slay it at night. You slay it at the fall of the sun, and then you're going to eat it at night. And that's what took place. And you're going to make sure you eat it as fast as possible. And as they did that, that's how deliverance came. The Bible says that they were blessed. The Israelites blessed them with a lot of things. They left Israel with a lot of possessions. You see, salvation is not just to think that God was going to do everything. We have a part to play. If we come here, we say, okay, I've received Christ, but I don't grow in sanctification daily, it's not going to happen. We're going to live an ordinary life. So that's how God was able to deliver them, because they stepped in. They did something through Passover. And the same play out during Jesus' time. Jesus wanted to be killed when he was a child. He wanted to be killed when he was growing up. As he started his ministry, the first word that came out of his mouth, he said, repent and embrace the kingdom of God through me. And that became a blasphemy. They said, are you calling yourself God? So they started looking to kill him. Another battle that was going on now. One took place in the Old Testament. God was the winner. And the second one was taking place during Jesus' time. So till the time when Jesus now understood that he's going to die. Because there was no other substitution for us to be saved. No one could have ever been able to save us. Only Jesus. Because the Bible says in John 1:29, that Jesus is the Lamb. The Lamb that was killed had to be killed in Israel, in Egypt, for the deliverance of the children of God. God said, I need the same Lamb now. And Jesus was that Lamb. Why? Because he fulfilled all the requirement to become that Lamb. He was young, a male. Even though he was beaten up, none of his bone was broken. He was slain publicly. He completed everything. So Satan said, I'm going to kill him. And he killed him. But he thought that by killing him, he had won the battle. But actually, 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. And what do we need to do now? We need just to accept him. We need to embrace his life, and we need to ask him to become our Lord and our Savior and accomplish everything he wants us to do. So that's the word that I have with us this morning. I prepared something long, but I didn't want to get into it because it's going to take very long. So I cut it that short for us to be able to understand exactly what the Bible says. Amen. May God bless you.